Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
To the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the
Dippin' Dots.
Move to the music, play
like music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI Podcast. I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, legend, the other half of the world's... Nope, he's not here this week. He's out on assignment. But we do have the trivia tricks. Nope, AJ, he's not back yet either. I don't even have the soundbite, but he's here. I feel bad. It's the best friend. Oh, you're my best friend. I'm not very good at singing Queen. But who really is? Freddie Mercury is a god. It's none other than the muted man, the attitude of aggression man, the lawyer, Big Five, Mr. Big Five himself, Dave Ungar.
Yeah, Patrick's the only one I know can kind of pull off Queen consistently. So anyway,
there are some decent voices on the chair shot, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. It is always a pleasure to be here, Tunny. I'm glad to fill in while DP's out buying Legos. I think that's a good plan.
It was funny because DP texted me and he's like, you know, this came up and you know, if you want to go tomorrow, we could go tomorrow if we can wait. Otherwise, you know, maybe Dave or DJ or somebody can jump in. And I'm like in the back of my head, I'm like, well, he doesn't know, but Dave was already coming on anyway, so this is fine. Reach out to DJ real quick, see what he's up to. And by the way, DJ said, you know what? Throw me on. I got a little time to hang out with the other podcast sluts today right here on DWI. And here he is, the mindless man himself from the Mindless Pod, the bearded wonder. Mr. DJ, how the hell are you, friend?
Oh, man, you threw up the pod signal. And I was like, you know what? I got 45 minutes to burn. Let's go ahead and jump on here and talk some stuff with my guys from the Big Five Project. This ought to be fun.
The three of
the
us.
The mindless slut. I like it, man.
Mindless slut. You know, it kind of feels like, you know, I feel like you saw The Replacements, right? Where like the NFL, pseudo NFL went on strike and you know, they brought in, I'm like Shane Falco. I'm like
you're
the
Shane
replacement
Falco?
Here. I'm Shane Falco. I'm the guy nobody wants, but here I am.
I thought you were more like the stripper cheerleaders.
No, you don't want to see that. Trust me.
Are you wiry?
I'm so wiry.
So you're telling me our best weapon is wiry? That's an underrated.
I unashamedly love that fucking movie.
Gene Hackman movie, man.
Yes.
R.I.P.
Yes, sir.
Check out Bandwagon Nerds. Decent tribute to him. Discussion at the end of that show from last week. But make sure you're checking everything out. Chairshot Radio Network. Like I said, Mondays, you got Bandwagon Nerds. Tuesdays, you got the Four Corners Podcast. Wednesdays, Greg DeMarco Show. Thursdays, Pod is War is back. It's myself, Andrew Belaz, and Ray Cash. Fridays, you're listening right now to DWI Podcast. Saturdays, it's always the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. At least probably twice a month is about where we're at right now. You're going to get a Big Five Project, which is going to... You got to look for those, and you got to listen to those because those are great. And then Sundays, you're either getting the Oddity or Front and Center Sports Podcast. So we're hitting on all cylinders right here on Chairshot Radio Network. Speaking of that, don't forget to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Make sure you check out all the great designs. You can get long sleeve. You can get a hoodie. Get it in soft style. Spend a couple extra bucks, you cheap bastard. We'll be right back after this.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Once again, thanks to Dave and DJ joining us here on episode 466 of the podcast known as DWI. Don't drink and drive, drink and podcast. Guys, this is an epic week for podcasting, and that's why I had to make sure
this week
I had to make sure Dave was here. That's probably why DJ doesn't mind doing multiple shows this week. It's probably why I didn't mind doing multiple shows this week. This is one of the biggest things in professional wrestling history. John Cena has turned heel. Let's start with the
I don't know that there's much else to talk about.
You know, we'll,
that's
we're,
the show,
I wanna,
kids.
I want to get in depth in this as much as we want to, and then we'll do a little bit of the rest of Elimination Chamber, and that's going to be a show today, folks. And it's going to be plenty of a show because there's a lot to talk about. I want to start with the execution in the ring of the heel turn. DJ, kick us off.
Absolutely fucking brilliant, man. I mean, unfortunately for me, I watched Elimination Chamber on Sunday, so I had things spoiled for me. So, and it was so funny because EJ from the Earnestly Speaking podcast, he texts me like late, sir, first thing Sunday morning. He's like, if you haven't watched, stay off social media. I'm like, too late, sir. But when I finally watched on Sunday, even though I knew what was coming, it's still, as The Rock would say, goosebumps to watch it happen. Just the hug to Cody and then just the sinister look on John Cena's face. You're like, oh, shit. Like, everybody, brilliant perfection.
Yeah, what DJ said, it was done, tremendously. And it's obviously going to draw comparisons to the Hogan turn in 1996 for good reason. You know, and the debate can rage as to which is the bigger turn. But, yeah, like DJ was saying, and I know we watched it live as it was happening. And, yeah, just like he said, the hug of Cody, and then you just see that facial expression change and you realize we've been had. And this is where this is going to happen. And when he kicks him in the groin and you realize, oh, my God, they actually did this. It was a huge moment, especially like, you know, and we talked about it. Like, I know we were all talking about it. I think on Bandwagon Nerds, we mentioned it like last week on DWI, all three of us, me, you and DP, we dabbled with the kind of the idea of maybe he would, you know, would they actually flip him heel? And we all had not going to do that his final year in wrestling. Turns out, first instincts were probably right. But yeah, it was done tremendously well. And everything that John Cena has done since then has just fed perfectly into this thing. It's just, it's like no selling this heel turn in one form, and on other forms, he's totally selling it. So it's been brilliantly done. I love, before I turn it back to you, I love how people are digging into this heel turn with Easter eggs. Like it's a Marvel fucking movie. You know, they're going and looking, going back in time. Was this a clue? Wait a second. The Rock beating the shit out of Cody last year, and there just happens to be a John Cena face on a truck. I think you guys are stretching this a little bit. You're looking for things that may not be, or maybe it was there the whole time. I don't know, but they did it so well. And it just shoved it in the face of all these people who were saying for the last few weeks, Triple H can't book WrestleMania. This WrestleMania build sucks. This is blah, blah, blah. It's like, what do you think now? And like I said on the last episode of Big Five, you're so far out from WrestleMania, you can't just sit there and go, oh, you know, this just sucks. Like you're 2 months out. This is not how they do things anymore.
So if you pull back farther on that trailer, the other person to the right of Cena on that trailer towards the front, towards where the cab would back in and hook up to it is Stone Cold. Just so everybody knows.
Well, and at one point during that beatdown, The Rock talks to Stone Cold on the side of the truck. So if you really want to dig for Easter eggs,
it's great. It's great. Here's the other thing, too, and I think we talked about this before as well, is there's nothing wrong sometimes with paint by numbers. Sometimes it's necessary. But it's been like 8 out of the last 10, 11 Manias have kind of been pretty damn close to that, and I'm not saying they were bad. So people started to get used to that. So they got mad that they couldn't figure it out now, you know? And I think that's just like, I put the tweet out. If you know, the people that know better, just sit back. It's okay. It's okay. If you predicted Rhea and somebody else to main event WrestleMania and you were wrong, that's fine. If you want to stick with the thing that Stone Cold never had a match with KO, that's fine. But you know,
wait a second.
You can be wrong. It's okay. It's okay to be wrong. You could still enjoy it, right?
Tony's dying on that hill, even though he's wrong.
He is.
One thing I'll piggyback on something you said, Tony, about predicting these things and all this stuff. People have been wanting, they wanted a heel turn from John Cena a decade ago. And like he even cut a promo in that one time after the match with The Rock. He's like, I guess you guys were expecting a heel turn and blah, 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 blah. Timing in this business is everything.
Amen.
Like if he had done this 10 years ago, it would have been big for the moment, but it would not have been as big a moment as it is now. We're talking about a 23-year babyface run that is almost unheard of in professional wrestling, save for maybe Ricky Steamboat.
And he's 9 months away from retiring. I mean, if you're going to do it, there's no other time to do it. This has got to be the time to do it. And his redemption arc will be even more epic because you know he's not retiring as a heel.
Before I forget while saying this, Dave, remind me because I want to talk about if he finishes a heel next. We do have someone on our network that predicted the heel turn. And it was Andrew Belaz. Follow him at IWC War Chief. And it's so funny. That son of a bitch, he starts watching WWE again, and all of a sudden he's figured it all out. You know, it's funny because the farther you get away from it and then come back to it, you maybe see it with a little bit of a clearer specter. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can see the forest from the trees because he's been gone for so long. I don't know necessarily that's the case. Andrew's a very brilliant wrestling analyst. He's covered a lot of things.
He's the guy who doesn't watch WWE predicts the biggest moment
in WWE history. He's been watching WWE for like over a year and a half, just so you know.
Yeah.
Even though Andrew and I haven't been working together as much in the past couple of years, and now we're back, we've still been talking. So, because Andrew does run the writing side. And speaking of our writers, let's plug this real quick. If you want the best coverage in the business, go to thechairshot.com. That's what thechairshot.com specializes in. You can find all our podcasts there. You can find some opinion pieces there. We were trying to grow that as well. But coverage from all of WWE, NXT, you got AEW, you got New Japan, you got TNA, right? All that stuff is covered. Andrew Belaz and Stephen Mitchell. Stephen Mitchell is the best in coverage that you've never heard about. And I will say that 100% from the bottom of my heart. Check out the way these guys cover it. They don't just tell you what happened. They give you a little background and opinion. So check that all out at thechairshot.com. Does he flip back before Ruthless Aggression in Boston, Dave? Or does he finish there and lose as a heel or win as a heel and retire and come out and, you know, he doesn't have boots. Maybe he takes his jorts off and leaves them in the ring, and then people just cheer him.
Oh, he'll be a face. I mean, think about the people who've actually retired as heels. I can't think of anybody. Like, even Andre turned face at the end, you know? So
yeah.
I don't think he's going to go out as a heel. Not you've got to do some redemption with the fact that he's been super Mr. Babyface for all these years. And I know we kid around, like I kid around with DJ and saying the next time we see Cena, we're going to get fuck these kids chants and all that kind of stuff. And maybe you do, but I can't see it. And there's money to be told in this redemption arc and how they go about it. I mean, that's to me, is it going to make money to flip him back to a face at the end? Absolutely. And how we get there from, you know, from here to through WrestleMania, where he's probably going to win number 17. And then going forward from there, the story of how he comes back into the good graces of all these fans and steps away. I mean, yeah, Randy Savage, right? His redemption arc, you know, I came back to the light. Yeah. At WrestleMania 7. I mean, that kind of stuff makes money. Him turning face in Boston at Ruthless Aggression at the end makes so much sense that, like you just said, sometimes paint by the numbers is okay. That's a very paint by the numbers moment, and it'll work to the maximum effectiveness if you do it like that.
D, DJ, I want you to give your comment on that and then bring it back with present day. Next time we see John, what music and look do we get? But first, I want your thoughts on the transition at the end. Do you think it's face at the end?
I think he goes out as a baby face. How they pull that off is yet to be determined, because we're talking about a very small window. I mean, the next 10 months are going to blow, 9 months, actually. The next 9 months are going to blow by like nothing. You got WrestleMania in less than 60 days, and that's going to be a big moment between him and Cody. Bigger than, and I think what everybody needs to take away from this is this is rubber meets the roads time for Cody, because there ain't no bigger person to work with than John Cena. And this is kind of a passing the torch type of moment for John to Cody. Even though I anticipate John beating Cody, this leads into the feud of the summer. And where we go from there, whether it culminates at SummerSlam and then we get John's redemption arc after that. But I agree with Dave. I don't think he ends December on as a heel. I think there's a redemption story in there somewhere. As far as the I don't think he changes anything.
Hold on. Before you do that, I just want to say one thing. If people don't realize it, this is all for Cody, because we're going to throw Stone Cold in here too. And the biggest three people that you could grab on planet Earth right now that can still are still highly functional in a storyline and in the ring necessarily, like he's working with them. It's not like, and this solidifies Cody, because it's not just, well, Cody's a main guy. He's on that echelon, but only because he was a part of the Bloodline storyline. You know, that kind of takes this out of that, I think.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about that more in depth tonight on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
Turn in tomorrow morning, folks. Yes.
But yeah, this absolutely has everything to do with Cody. As far as how Cena is presented, I expect the theme music to change. I would love for him to come out to Bad Bad Man, because I unapologetically love that song. It's so bad, it's good. And I hope he comes out to it. As far as the look, I don't think he changes a thing. I think it plays into what Dave was saying. On certain social media, he's the same old John Cena, throwing inspirational quotes. Like, in his head, he's justified. I'm right. I'm doing this for me, because this is what I think is best. I've done for this company for 23 fucking years. Now I'm doing for me, and me is who I am, and who John Cena is what we've had for the last 20 years. I don't think he changes the look.
This is what's best for business, like you were starting to say.
Yes.
I think the other thing, before you get back, you got to also keep in mind, this is the first ever two-night SummerSlam coming up. So if this is a two-part story, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, it makes all the sense in the world to do it like that. And I think that's kind of what they're looking at this is a big... Yeah, I mean, if we weren't having a two-night SummerSlam, I'd be a little bit more leery of John winning 17 at Vegas. But I think they stretch this thing out through the summer. Cody probably wins the title back in New York, but we'll see.
I waffle between new music and new look, because there's something so right. There's something so obvious right in front of you is don't change anything, because now we're going to get John Cena sucks again. Right?
I wouldn't be surprised to see them change the look. I don't know if the jorts work with heel John Cena, but
so I think the most likely to change is the look, right? Dude, if dude comes back with like a mustache or something, that'd be fucking great. But I
heard somewhere suggest that he may shave his head. It's halfway there anyway.
I don't think he can do that. He can't do that because he's still doing stuff movie-wise in between.
No, I know.
Like,
he's still acting.
He was just in Africa like 2 days after Elimination Chamber, right? So Thugonomics is something they could go back to. Here's the problem, though. You're already going to have people cheering for him. If that's what you want, great. But if you want people to boo John, you can't be giving them what they want. You can't give them Thugonomics. Give them something. How about no music?
Just come out to
something. And you know what would happen? If there's no music and he walks out and the crowd figures it out, you know what you're going to hear the whole time? John Cena sucks. John Cena sucks. That's going to go on for us the whole time. The crowd will be his music. That would be the most brilliant thing to me.
Okay. All right.
That could be fun.
I don't know. Name me three people John Cena must work with by the end of the year that he's not already working with.
Go ahead, Deej. You start it.
You would.
I'll start. You guys
I
can think.
Do it. I just didn't want to.
I'll start.
In there.
I'll start. You guys think. I'll start.
Go ahead. Give me. Let me think about this.
Randy Orton. Randy Orton should be his last match. That's
100%. I agree there.
CM Punk. I think they should have a match. I think that's where John comes back to face. And then, somebody that you wouldn't think of. And I don't know really who that is yet. But he needs to have a match while he's the champion with someone that you don't think would get a title match that gives him a way bigger run for his money than you'd ever think. And I think DJ might have it in his head. So go ahead, DJ. Save that one for last. Who are your two obvious ones?
Randy Orton is his final match. Absolutely. That's the only way, because those two are intrinsically tied together. I would say Edge, but Edge is overplaying in the Jacksonville territory.
Oh, Cope.
So
where's
it's
Cope?
Randy Orton.
Where's Cope when we need him? Cope, come on.
He can go cope with whatever he's doing over there.
I agree.
Randy Orton, CM Punk, and his first title defense after Cody, L.A. Knight.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's not bad. That's not bad, especially if it's heel scene.
Because that's a guy he can beat.
Yeah.
And it won't hurt that guy, and it'll give him a crowd pop run for the money.
I like it. Dave?
Yeah, Punk and Orton are the obvious choices. For the third one, yeah, it's got to be somebody, one of the newer talents, somebody who could benefit from the rub that they would get by taking John Cena to the absolute limit where John has to, like, cheat in the end to win.
I got mine now.
I'm just trying to think. Mine's
Braun Breaker.
Yeah, Braun would be really cool.
John Cena goes, okay. You know what? You want a shot? You want a shot? He comes up to John. He goes, John goes, you want a shot at this? Fine. I want to be two-time. I want to be double champ. Sure. Bring it on.
Bring the Intercontinental Championship
maybe
on the
line. Maybe
he
does that too.
God, I want to say, remember, like, Sami Zayn would be interesting based on their history. When John was the United States champion and he did that open challenge in Montreal.
He introduced Sami Zayn to the roster.
He introduced Sami to the roster and Sami took him to his absolute limit.
Sami, didn't he fuck up his shoulder?
He did, and then getting into the ring, I think.
Yeah, no, he like did this before and he fucked up his shoulder. He finished the match and he was out for like 8 months.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Maybe I'm just trying to think who's down in NXT who they could bring up, and it would be a big maybe Trick Williams. I mean, Trick versus Cena might be a really interesting match.
Oba?
They're going to speed Oba to John Cena. If John Cena wrestles Oba, Oba's winning.
Yeah, he might. He might.
Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Aleister Black, if he's going to come back, I would pay good money to see him and Cena go at each other. If he's Aleister Black, not Malachi Black, that might be fun if he is coming back. But Jay's going to, if Jay wasn't winning the world championship at Mania, I'd say Jey Uso, John Cena. Yeah, but I think Jay will be world champion by then.
Would you want to see Stone Cold and John Cena?
If Stone Cold
100%. Okay. What about?
Absolutely.
Would you want to see John Cena retire Bill Goldberg?
No.
Ooh,
that would be cause no. people to cheer.
I would
that
be
would
fine
cause
with seeing
people,
I don't, not
people would cheer
a,
for him
like
on that.
Not like it'd be a high profile match, but having him retire him. Here's one. Two guys with history haven't seen this in a while. Give me John Cena and AJ Styles again, because they cannot put on
they
a bad
tore
match.
The house down.
That's one of
they
the
can't
best
put on a bad match.
That's one of the best matches in the last 10 years.
Yeah, John Cena and AJ Styles.
The SummerSlam and Royal Rumble match. They
the
were
Royal
phenomenal.
Rumble
Even
one,
the first one was good.
I think the Rumble one was the best one.
Yeah.
I mean, they were yes and no. And I'll say that because it was kind of the same match with a different winner. It was a lot of similarities, and that's
fair.
Okay.
That's fair. What else? Anything else, John Cena? I tried to ask questions.
I think Randy Orton is a good call because think of Randy Orton's current trajectory. Like, Randy Orton is this baby face of all baby faces at this point. I think he's the guy to bring John Cena back to the light, so to speak, in his final match. He RKOs John Cena half to death, and John Cena finally sees the light after Randy pins him.
Like, it's like Hawkeye, right? Randy Orton's Black Widow, and he brings him out of his trance that The Rock has. I mean, Rock Cena at the end of all of this would be really three times in a lifetime. Yeah, maybe.
Thrice in a twice time?
There's an episode title for it.
I'd rather see Stone Cold and The Rock one more time. Thrice in a twice time.
There you go, Tony.
I'm writing it down. What's that, TJ?
I said I'd rather see The Rock and Stone Cold go one more time.
Oh, I don't think they would ever agree to do that, though.
I don't think they would either. I think their final match was the best they ever did, and you leave that there in history. Don't try and repeat that.
I think they get interaction in Vegas.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. I think Austin stuns him at least one more time.
You know, John's first match was against Kurt Angle, so why not bring Tom Peacestock back to have John's last match?
Why you gotta be like that? We stand Baron Corbin on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We don't shit talk him.
Well, on the prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, you can go grab a shirt that says Baron Corbin sucks. That's a true story.
Do we still sell that?
Oh, yeah.
We haven't gotten a cease and desist on that yet.
No, actually.
Time-traveling bastard Tony Khan. Come back for one match.
Baron, when we introduced that shirt to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, Baron Corbin liked and retweeted Greg's tweet.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I put some ribs on the grill about 2 or 3 months ago and tagged him in it, and he liked it and commented. I thought that was pretty cool.
Wait, did you tag Bon Jovi?
I did not. This was before tagging Bon Jovi became a thing. It wasn't trending yet. Now it's trending thanks to us.
So basically at that time, you were just living on a prayer.
I was. It was sad. Yeah.
Very sad.
Now he's just got to run away.
I was a young gun.
Now he's got to run away.
He's figured it out. Now he's off in a blaze of glory. Let's go.
She don't know me.
We can do this. The rest of the show can be Bon Jovi titles if you guys want. We used to go to a bar called AJ's on Big Muskego Lake down the street here. DP and the rest of the Greenfield boys, Satchel McFlippins and the General. And anytime Bon Jovi would come up on the jukebox, whoever was there in our crew, no matter how many people, and we knew the bartender well, me and the bartender would shake dice for shots, and it would be me against him, but I'd be playing for everybody. So if I lost, I'd buy everybody. But Bon Jovi always had my back. Let's talk about the rest of the chamber. Let's talk about the other gigantic thing that happened. Oh, man. You know, I'd like to play the Welcome Back Cotter song, but it's a little subdued for what happened here. But what a brilliant, two brilliant things, absolutely brilliant things happened. Jade Cargill returns, and the theater that Liv Morgan and Bianca Belair provided outside of the beatdown. This stuff doesn't happen in any other place in professional wrestling, Dave.
No, I've gotten sick of listening to people who can't suspend their disbelief. Oh, if this is a surprise attack, why did she come out in her wrestling gear? Shut the fuck up. It's pro wrestling.
Because
she's fucking smoking hot and she looks good in it.
She looks ripped. Like, she came back in better shape than she was when she left. And I absolutely love the beatdown of Naomi. Just the way they played it up with Liv, just, you know, terrified and her going right at it. Was very reminiscent of when Roman came back, right? And they thought he's going to go after Cody, and he Superman punched Solo instead. So there's a lot of similarities between that. It was a great moment. The women's chamber match was excellent. The winner, I called it, and then, you know, a lot of us called it, and then Raw went and fucked the whole thing up. It's like, wait a second, why did we go through all this to get this dream match finally for you guys just to yank? Of course, I don't think that's the end of the story, but I thought the chamber match was phenomenal. There was a lot of good stuff in there. Bianca winning in the end. I mean, her and Liv at the end. those two have tremendous chemistry, and just, you know, false finish after false finish, and then Bianca finally, and that hair whip that she hits Liv with, ooh,
Jesus, yeah,
no thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you. The beginning of the match, the beatdown was brutal. It was savage. Jade Cargill, we have been supportive of Jade for as long as she's been in WWE. My hope is that she's finally getting the ring stuff together, because she gets every other aspect of sports entertainment. Like, she gets the timing, she gets the body language, she's got a presence, she's got everything except that one little piece of the puzzle that she needs to put together.
I want to ask you specifically, DJ, because you're the only person that's actually had wrestling matches and is a former professional wrestler. Do you think it would be smart to... It's kind of limiting her, but it's also letting her kind of be who she is. She should work more like Nia Jax. She should work more like a big man. And yes. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to, like, you know, it just, there's not a lot of big women, you know, and that's not a, that's a compliment. Like, it should be her and Nia are the two most powerhouse women, and then right underneath that, like a half a step is Bianca and Charlotte, and then everybody else is a step below that as far as power.
Oh, I don't think that's an unreasonable statement at all. She, a power wrestler should work like a power wrestler. You didn't, and I don't want to compare her to this guy, because I think she's got more talent in the ring, but you don't have the Ultimate Warrior out there doing drop kicks and springboards and shit like that. You're a big muscular guy. Do big muscular guy moves. You're a big muscular girl. Do the muscle girl moves. It's perfectly okay. And every now and then, pull out a springboard. And I think, you know, for stuff like that, while it's impressive when you can do it, if you're not doing it more often than you're pulling it off, it's probably a good idea to maybe not do it so much. But yeah, I'm looking forward to where this goes. I absolutely think Naomi's innocent here. There's a bigger story to be told. And Naomi is, God, she's such a gem. She really is. She does everything that they want her to do. And I hope at some point they give her her flowers and all this, because she's been incredible.
I think Bianca set all this up because the way Monday happened. And Ray and Andrew disagreed with me. And I was like, I don't know, man. She stood there and she seemed like a... That smile was like a Cheshire cat. There's something behind it, Dave. There's something behind it.
There's absolutely something behind it. I mean, she, like you're saying, just grinning at this whole thing, getting physically involved with Rhea, really kind of throwing Rhea off of her game. And to Rhea's credit, you know, if we're going to talk about it, that promo she cut backstage after she lost,
beautiful.
Probably the best promo she's ever done.
Notch.
100.
Lost, I don't know, you know, questioning herself, questioning her talent, questioning her focus, feeling abandoned, feeling singled out. Everything about that is just adding depth to Rhea's character that hasn't been there so far. At least not since the Judgment Day split up and Dom left her. But yeah, there's definitely a bigger story to be told here. Bianca turning heel would be ideal, and her being the manipulator, the puppet master of this whole damn thing. There's got legs to that, you know.
I made a comment on the Mindless Wrestling podcast last week about, because, you know, Dave, you said it was shocking. We thought we were going to get the dream match with Rhea and Bianca at WrestleMania. Unfortunately, I just think with the directions that they've taken, with Bianca kind of guiding Jade along and being mixed up over there, and Rhea being, you know, spent the last 2.5 years either in or around the Judgment Day story, you kind of took the money out of the bag with that match. We need to build the hype back up for that, and you can't do it in 50-some-odd days. You can do it in a year, which is why you build up heel Bianca, and you totally strip down Rhea Ripley. Strip her down to the bare nothings, and then you spend the next 12 months building that up, and have Rhea win next year's Royal Rumble. Have Bianca hold the championship for a fucking year.
I was just gonna say the same exact thing, DJ.
I mean,
that's brilliant. But I don't know. I'm 50-50 on whether or not I think they're gonna do it. I don't know. I could still see Rhea just winning the title back. I hope they do what you said.
or they could be a triple threat. I mean, you could consider, because I know they want EO in that match for some, you know, and I don't begrudge them that, because EO has got more talent than Bianca and Rhea combined in ring.
Raw is also on in Japan now, folks.
I mean, DJ may be right. Maybe they build this thing out for a year.
I like that.
And set it up. That would be kind of cool, you know, pull a Cody Roman sort of situation and say, well, we want the payoff right now. No, it'll be bigger in a year when we do it. You know,
exactly.
Like CJ said, we strip you down, we break you down, and then your road back is where we got. But it's good, because one of the big things we were saying is that heading into the chamber, Rhea doesn't have any legitimate challengers, right? I mean, who can really match up with her power-wise? Bianca, Jade, Nia, well, not really, because Rhea's beaten her ass enough times that it really, Nia's not a credible threat. But like, I want to, DJ, getting back to what DJ said about Jade, I think she needs to change up her moveset a little bit. You know, I would love to see her develop a different finisher other than the Glam Slam, which she calls Jaded. You know, it's like, it's a good move, but I'd rather see her do something even more high impact than that.
It's funny, because I go the other direction, Dave. I think she needs to find a submission hold that is someone strong would do. Like, how about the full Nelson? Or how about the torture rack?
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Yeah.
Torture rack would be cool. But although I'm a fan of how she transitions from the Glam Slam into the finisher, or to the pin.
Yeah.
I dig that, and I think it's become her signature.
Stop taking away one of the moves.
Licking her arm, but
don't take away one of the moves she does best. Maybe, you know what they do, like so many big stars happen, they transition their finisher, and their previous finisher becomes their setup, right? Like Glam Slam into, instead of how you like the pin,
a torture rack
into this, well, or into a submission on the ground too, right? Like she can do some kind of powerful submission. I don't know. You're going to leave in 5 minutes. I got it. You can say it out loud. We'll pull the curtain.
Okay,
back.
Well, I didn't want to cut over you.
You're fine. I'd be a hypocrite if I got mad if people talked over me.
Hey, look, DJ, if those guys are bothering you to show up, just say, fuck them kids.
No. Okay, I like the John Cena reference, but literally don't do that. We need all the content we can get. No, I definitely want to plug this, though, folks. Tune in. Tomorrow morning, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the Bearded Wonder, Rob the Genius, and Mr. Jason, Bucky's tag team partner, ready to kick him through a tag
Bucky's
team
tag
window.
Team.
Okay.
To a barbershop window.
There we go. Tag team window. I said tag. I'm drinking. Do you see the avatar for this Skype call? If it's the DWI logo, I have to work tomorrow. If it's Stone Cold drinking beers, I'm off tomorrow.
You're off.
Let's do this, and Dave and I will stick around for one last thing after DJ's gone, and we'll get DJ out of here on this. Where would you rate this pay-per-view? Because I have a pinned tweet on X right now, and I fully believe in it. This was brilliant all the way through. All the matches were, like, even the women's tag match was good. We not even got to Sammy and KO yet. Dave and I will probably dig into that a little bit, and one other thing before we go after DJ's out. It's just, I gave it 11 out of 10. like if I had to score it for real, we were keeping track, I'd give it a 10. But like my tweet says 11 out of 10. This was brilliant. This was Hunter and Rock and John being, you know, willing to do it in something that I don't think Vince would have done. And then just the execution in the ring. What do you guys think?
Solid 10 out of 10 in terms of in-ring action. The talent stepped up. The talent was excellent. The storytelling, the officially now we're on the road to WrestleMania. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, there's wow. Tony not being the East German judge for once.
Holy shit. There's Hold at on. Least let's before I don't want to I don't want to
What did Cage you. Match give it, Tony?
I don't know. I didn't look yet. I probably a lot. Yeah. I just use that as a reference. I love because you can go back and know everything about everything, right? I mean, Wikipedia works too. But before Dave answers, because Dave, I want you to be able to give a long answer without being interrupted. Let's let DJ go. Let's let him get ready so he doesn't have to rush. There's a possibility you might see us, DJ. There's a possibility you might not. But have a great show, and make sure everybody listens tomorrow. Follow at the Mindless Pod on X, and listen every Saturday morning, DJ. Thank you, my friend.
All right, sir. Thank you. You guys enjoy the rest of your show.
Later, buddy.
Bye.
All right, Dave. Give me your thoughts.
As far as an Elimination Chamber-themed event, it's the best of all time. Easy.
100.
From the standpoint of the chamber match, I mean, 2002 is the first one's always going to be the best, in my opinion. Can't beat that. But
it's tough to trump Shawn Michaels coming back and winning.
Yeah, and winning the world championship right. And the first time you ever did see you, this match.
So
and,
did you watch Rivals Triple H and Shawn Michaels, where Shawn Michaels said that he came out dressed like he was in that brown with the cowboy boots because his gear wasn't ready in time.
I did not realize that, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because he looked like shit.
But getting back to your question, yeah, I would agree with you guys. It's a 10 out of 10. You've got three great matches. The two chamber matches, phenomenal. The KO Sami Zayn match, which I know we'll talk about, tremendous. Even the tag match with Trish and Tiff was good. It wasn't great, but it did prove a valid point that Tiffany Stratton is as over as anybody right now. And she will get a lot of support against Charlotte Flair. And that's a legit challenger to Charlotte, because we're wondering, well, would they pivot away from Tiffy if she's not clearly not over? They probably would. But that her appearance there showed me that no problem getting her over. So, yeah, I think you're right. When you take the fact that there's out of the four matches, three are great, one is good, and you have quite possibly the biggest heel turn in wrestling history happen on an event. How do you not give that a 10 out of 10?
And you didn't mention one of the best executed comebacks after an attack all time in Jade Cargill.
Yeah. Jade coming back was awesome. And you kind of had whispers that she had been cleared. But yeah, the only bad part of it, Travis Scott injuring Cody Rhodes, that was a downer, and somebody needs to really talk to him about that. But the guy's like smoking a blunt in the ring.
No. I don't know what he was burning sage.
Oh, okay.
But here, hold on.
Cole thinking that John was using brass knucks, but he's really using the Rolex.
I don't know that Cody's eardrum is busted. Maybe it is. But I guarantee you someone told Travis Scott, likely The Rock, you need to punch him for real, otherwise it's not going to look good. And we can't have this not look good.
Yeah, there may be something to that. But yeah, getting back to your... I mean, it is... It will be an event that will never be forgotten. It ranks right up there with Bash at the Beach 96 and Hogan's heel turn. Which one's bigger? It's 1A and 1B, in my opinion. I mean, they're from the standpoint of pushing the industry forward, Hogan's is bigger, no question, can't be topped. From the standpoint of, you look at the timing and the impact to a character as to which one is bigger, man, that's a tougher call.
So I'm so glad we circle back to this, because I was going to bring this up at some point today. I'm trying to find, here it is. So Just Jeremy Heyo on Twitter, great on X, great account to follow, you know, fun guy, just doesn't get mad when you disagree, right? And that's the kind of interactions you want to have. Like, me and him...
I got to go follow him.
Me and him DM'd actually today, and I invited him anytime he wants to come on the show, let me know. And we kind of disagreed on something, and I want to bring it up here to you, Dave, because it's really in line with what you're just talking about. And when I DM'd him, I was like, you know, respectfully disagree. He's like, if we didn't disagree once in a while, it wouldn't be any fun. So that's the kind of guy you're dealing with. His post was, here's the biggest difference in Hogan seeing a heel turn.
We already follow each other.
Right. I figured you did. Hogan's turn was like, holy shit. Cena's turn was, it's about fucking time. I replied, I feel it's the other way around. Hogan was already getting booed. Majority thought Cena would never turn heel. Dave, are you somewhere in between there, or are you in one of the other's camp?
I think they're both holy shit moments, to be honest with you. I think he's right that Hogan's was that way. The whole thing, it's about time. No, because the thing I've said to other people is the timing of this. 9 months away from the end of your career, now's the time you turn him heel. You had all these chances. And John's been very open, like on interviews, about talking about how they had plans in place for him to turn heel in 2012 before Rock Cena won, or even right after Rock Cena won. That would have made a lot of sense. To do it here when there's only 9 months left in your career and everything is going to be compacted into those 9 months, it's arguably a bigger turn than Hogan is, just because of the character involved and the timing of it. There's no indication that Hulk was going to retire when he did all this stuff. And you're right. Hulk was stale. They needed to do something with his character, but there's a lot of similarities there as well, right? Hulk, champion of the kids, say your prayers, training, vitamins. John Cena granted more make-a-wishes than anybody in history. So there's a lot of parallels you can draw between them. And like I said, I don't think that this is as big as Hulk from the standpoint of where, because without Hulk turning, we don't get the Monday Night War. And that's a totally different story from a character arc and where I think they're going to go. I think John's might be the bigger one because I think we're in for a really big ride. Whereas Hulk, once he flipped, he was Hollywood Hogan. And that was the extent of it.
Yeah. I think you mentioned the word stale, and that's the difference. Like, Hogan needed it. John didn't need this. He could have been fine either way. Right. Hogan absolutely needed it. And you know what? We didn't know it, but the industry needed that too at the time.
Yes, absolutely. For John to win 17, he did need this. Maybe he did need this because it makes it much more plausible for him to cheat his way to 17, sure, to break the record rather than beat Cody clean, which a lot of people are probably not going to accept. So it makes sense, and there are a lot of reasons to, looking back, thinking, yeah, I should have seen it coming. You know, maybe we should have given it more credibility than we did, but it's a tough one, man, as to which one's bigger moment. And it's also, let's be honest, it's also an unfair question because this just started. We don't know where this ends up. Hogan, you can look at hindsight's 2020 and say, right. You look at the whole arc that he did, and it was monumental to the industry and for WCW especially. But at the end of the day, at the last latter parts of the NWO, it was a train wreck. So, you know, I mean, that's the honest truth of it.
Sometimes I listen to you, Dave, give your analogy of what happens, and it's not a wonder at all why you're the best friend of this show and why anybody would be lucky to have you be the best friend of any show. It's fun to have this network that we have because there's so many people that just enjoy giving their take and having a conversation about wrestling. And that's the funnest thing that that's why I keep doing this, is because we got a great crew about it. Let's get into
before you go ahead. I just wanted to say thank you for that. And cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Oh, get your feet off the couch, bro. KO and Sammy, it deserves our conversation. That was amazing. These two guys are amazing. I talked about it last night on Pod is War. Go tune into that show. That show is just back. And if you didn't listen to the week before, listen to that too. Me, Andrew, and Ray are having fun. I'm going to let you give your take here. People want my take, they can go back to Pod is War.
Yeah, you know, one thing about Elimination Chamber that was a little bit interesting is you had all these moments to break out the blood, right? Especially this match where I thought this would be a bloodbath and they didn't bleed at all. Even they broke out the barbed wire covered chair.
Amazing.
Which was allegedly not gimmicked. Nobody bled, but it's not till the end where Cody gets busted open because Cody likes to bleed, apparently. I don't know about these other guys. Yeah, it was a phenomenal, tremendously brutal match with some really brutal spots from guys who've been doing this for so long. They have such history with each other. You really win this match thinking, well, we've seen everything these guys could do. And they proved you wrong because you probably haven't seen a match between them quite like this. And they've had brutal affairs, El Generico and Kevin Steen and all that stuff, but not on a stage this big with you know, an unsanctioned sort of match in a situation like this where they just beat the holy fuck out of each other. And it was a beautiful story being told of just the disintegration of this friendship. And, you know, ultimately, I mean, yeah, Kevin Owens had to damn near kill Sami Zayn to keep him down for that three count. And then, of course, we got the, you know, you talked about epic returns earlier with Jade Cargill. We got another one at Elimination Chamber with Randy Orton coming back. You were right, because I remember on talking on the preview saying, well, I don't think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will be done after this match. They're done. And it's going to be KO and Randy Orton in a, you know, God knows what kind of match they're going to do with those two. But, yeah, I love the fact that these two guys put on a match that felt different than anything that they'd done before. And, you know, the honest truth is they hadn't – well, the dogs are upset.
No, they're not. They're excited. Anybody would be excited about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens' program.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was just such a great story, and it just felt so – and we hadn't seen these two guys square off against each other in a long time, so it was kind of fresh. You got to give them credit for doing something to put their bodies on – I mean, there's that spot that Kevin Owens took on that chair. Whew, man.
When you have the conversation about the greatest one-on-one rivalries of all time, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens is in that discussion.
Yes. I still like remember the match at Battleground a few years ago where Sami beat him, right? And he hits him with that huluva kick and Kevin collapses into him and Sami just holds him up to look at him scornfully and then hits him again because Sami doesn't have very many victories over Kevin Owens. Ever since Kevin apron power bombed him in NXT, and they even went back to that in this match. I mean, that was a seminal moment in the history of NXT, that apron power bomb that catapulted the black and gold to a different level. They went back to that with this twice over. So there's so many little subtle nods to their past in this match that just made it, for anybody who's familiar with their history, made it all that much better. And yeah, I mean, you've got to, it's as good as the chamber matches were, that was probably the best match of the night. And you just, I mean, geez, what can you say? It's just a tremendous fight between those guys.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we're fully on the road to WrestleMania. Obviously, we're getting close. You know, the kids are asking, are we there yet? Damn it. Can't you see we're getting close?
I wanted to say one thing about that. And it was a conversation, and I'll call the conversation. It wasn't so much a debate. It was a conversation me, you, and Jason from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast had about, talk about where they're landing the plane, and we're not, you know, going to go deep into that because planes are a problem right now. But I adamantly believe with all of my heart and soul that with the Triple H, like Vince would be different. He would go in with tunnel vision. This is where we're going. I don't give a shit. Maybe there's an exception with WrestleMania 30 with Daniel Bryan. Maybe there's not. I think Triple H and The Rock are more read and react sort of thing. Like, okay, we're going to go in here with these options on the table. We are going to read what the crowd is doing. We will react accordingly and set matches up based on the feedback. It's like you and I golf all the time. What's one of the most important things you can do in golfing when you're practicing? Get good feedback. This tells you, okay, my club face is closed, this, that, the other, right? I think they're a lot like that. They're looking for feedback from the crowd. What's working? What's not? If we go in this direction, okay. And that worked beautifully in Elimination Chamber with Rock just, you know, okay. Cody was like, you know, going to go in one direction. Here's what we're going to do. If he goes in the other direction, here's what we'll do. When Cody says, fuck yourself, and the crowd pops for it, it's like, okay, we know exactly where we need to go. Let's flip John. I mean, they're going to do it anyway, but it's just validation at that point.
I think there's seminal points none of them being during this actual happenings, right? Where they aren't necessarily looking to change, but looking to affirm what they're trying to do. And definitely in times where you don't see it coming. If you think that this wasn't planned before the calendar turned to 2025, you're insane.
Oh, it absolutely was. And like you said, they look for affirmation. But here's a good thing. Triple H is not above changing course if he realizes that something's not working. And it's like, okay, this isn't landing with the crowd as well as we thought. Let's consider this. Or the crowd really want, like last year, everybody really want, we want Cody. Because Rock Roman was going to happen last year. I had adamantly believed that. And then you got that whole campaign going.
I don't know that I believe that, actually. I do believe that they missed the ball there. It should have been Rock and Roman for the title. That could have been the biggest title match you've ever had in your company's history. But give your last.
You think maybe because like Roman was burnt out by that point, needed a break. That had something to do with it. Like he's like, let me drop the belt. I need to take a few months off.
I think they had planned that Cody was gonna. They wanted to build Cody. They needed another guy, right? Like they had to
Cody's
have.
He's definitely that guy.
It's funny because somebody today was like, Cody's the only he's the biggest guy to put the company on his back and carry it to another level since John Cena. And I'm like, hold on, Cody doesn't even fucking sniff the fucking atmospheric air that is that high of a level, because Roman Reigns just. Fucking was the greatest champion of all time. Like Roman Reigns is going to be better than there's an argument that he could be better than John Cena by the time he's done.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, we got to see where we go with Roman, but from the standpoint of that last title reign he had,
John carried a stale time and over an ever never ending arc. Amazing. We're talking difference between Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods right here. No one's ever done what Roman just did. When you compare analytics to modern and not, you know, and going back in time, like it's stupid.
It's almost like you have to, if you're really going to do that, you got to kind of compare Roman to Hogan, right? Similar length of title reign, similar impact. And well, not similar John impact on is, the industry. Nobody's going to top Hogan, but
John's more like Flair. In a weird fucking way, because
or Austin or Rock during the time frame where the title reigns were shorter ish.
But John's had some big ones, and he's been in the business longer than Austin and Rock. Like Austin and Rock, the fucking crazy thing about them is they weren't in wrestling full time that long, especially like main roster WWE is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I get you. I mean, Rock was. What did he debut? What, the 96 Survivor Series? And by 2003?
Gone.
He's kind of gone?
Yeah. Now he's been around, right? And his legacy is unmatched. But Dave, give your last thoughts here on the whole weekend and what we got going forward. Before I get into one last thing, I just want to run. I want to preview something for you.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal event by all accounts. Elimination Chamber, giving it a 10 out of 10 is not hyperbole. It was that impactful on the industry. I'm really looking forward to seeing where we go from here. I mean, there's a lot of things that weren't answered. You got Seth Rollins, CM Punk situation. That's going to come to a head in the steel cage. They've got the wives involved in this sort of stuff. You know, I've seen some
mixed tag mania, mixed tag Seth and Becky versus AJ and Punk. That's so fucking money.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I've seen there's rumors. I don't think they're substantiated at all about a possible night one tag match with Cody and Punk teaming up against Cena and The Rock. I don't think that happens.
It could be more.
Would I
Cody.
Be mad about it? No.
I'd rather see Cody and Austin.
Yeah, yeah. That would be money as well. Where does Roman Reigns fit in with this event? He's gonna have to be involved in some form or fashion. The predominant thinking is he's gonna fight Seth. I've seen people talk about a triple threat, but what the fuck is the point? Nothing's on the line.
I like the triple threat because the favor. So what'll be on the line is number one contendership, and the favor will be Roman lets CM Punk pin Seth Rollins. And then we get John and Punk
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could see that kind of stuff happening. I think there's a lot that's going to change between now and April 19th for sure. We're only scratching the surface. We still got, what, 5 weeks to go? I mean, they got a lot of story to tell. A lot of the card needs. How many matches do we have now? We got Cena, Cody, Gunther, Jay. We got Bianca and Io, and we got Charlotte and Tiffy. Probably get at least 10 more matches out of this thing, right? Last year was like 14, 15 match card.
Well, so it's three nights. I mean, you're going to have some of your non-major titles on WrestleMania SmackDown, right? And why wouldn't you? Like, the USA is like, thank you. So I love it. I can't wait. Dave, you brought up golf. PGA 2K25. I've been playing a ton. You haven't dove in yet. If you want to play on that pro level where your swing is like 1.39 swing speed, it's tough. Because you get in there and once you master the normal swings, then you got to figure out the rough and everything else. What's really difficult is pitching, chipping, and putting on greens the last day where you're on ridges, right? Like, and they're firm and the ball's running out. Like, I've literally, I just did it today. I had a 9 on a par 3 and I hit the green.
Oh, Jesus.
So whether or not it's my character's like ability to do such things, but some stuff is really tough. But you know what?
What's funny is in real golf, I would do that, but you would never come anywhere near a 9 on a par 3.
Well, here's the thing though. They've made this game more like real golf. Like the problem, why that happened to me is because I'm trying to take these aggressive reads that I would take on 2K23. They've changed the game for better so that it's more realistic. Like where if you're in a certain spot on the course, sometimes you need to set yourself up so you can just make the next shot. And even on the green, right? I think my whole thing is pitching's kind of tough and chipping right around the green is weird, but you got to build your guy up. The fun thing is everything's there. You made the point, though, that if EA is going to take time off, why don't they trade licenses for these major championships? Because they have the PGA Championship, they have the U.S. the Open, they have the British Open, but they don't have the Masters, and EA has the Masters. It's like, why can't one hand wash the other?
Right, and I know a couple years ago there was a thought that the companies EA and 2K may alternate from one year to the next, which would be fine, you know what I mean? EA's game and everything I've heard is just the same. Like PGA still can't match EA's visuals, which I mean, when you look at what EA actually did to get their visuals with drones, contour mapping, all this other stuff, I get it. But yeah, I would love to see Augusta. And I know the people in the creative course have created an exact replica down to every last blade of fucking grass, but yeah, it's not quite the same. But yeah, I need to dive into it. I just haven't had a chance this week. But yeah, I mean, like EA stuff, once you figure out the type of shitty shot to hit out of a certain place, like out of the bunker, it's like, okay, if I do this pick shot, I know I'm going to come within, you know, once you learn how to hit it, it's like, okay, that's automatically within par distance. But yeah, I would love to see 2K get the license to at least the Masters or Sawgrass, or I don't know if Sawgrass is on there.
Oh yeah. All the other, okay. The only thing that's missing is the Masters, really, to be honest with you.
And believe me, I sucked at the Masters on the EA game, so I'm not that upset not to see it there. That's like that in Wolf Creek. Those are the two courses I just hated on EA's game.
I just played Pinehurst and shot 80 for one of my rounds. And and I've shown you visual proof, like I've gone online and played tournaments, like the pro tournaments, not the master tournament, the second one pro where it's 1.39 swing speed and not stupid, ridiculous undulation on the greens and shot a 60. I haven't broken 60 yet, but like that's kind of realistic-ish. You know, sometimes you're on, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're playing smart, sometimes you're not.
Yeah, but you're playing guys shooting a 48 and that's ridiculous.
Yeah, online, it's kind of like Golden Tee if you're in certain spots, but you got to get in there and just have fun with it and try to make yourself better. So, all right, I think that's it. Oh, let me run something by you. Did you hear about Jeff Jarrett and Acclaim?
No.
All right, look that up.
What did he do?
Get back to me. Him and
Jeff Jarrett and Acclaim?
Acclaim's
the
coming
video
back.
Video game company?
Yeah, they're coming back. Jeff Jarrett's on the board of directors. And yeah, we talked about it on Pod as War last night. I thought I'd run it by you.
What the hell is he going to do?
I don't know. They'll probably make AEW games and bring back NBA Jam or something like that.
God, yeah, because we need another Fight Forever. That's what we fucking need in the world.
All right, Dave, let's get out of here. Thank you once again. Before you plug everything you got going on, make sure you follow DJ at The Mindless Pod. You can listen to them every Saturday morning on Chairshot Radio Network on all of your favorite streaming platforms. Bestie, talk to me.
Yeah, you can check me out on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. And you know what else is coming out, Tony? Speaking of video games, WWE 2K25 is coming out very soon. So
it is. I'm debating. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't think I'll get it anytime soon because I'm still enjoying 2K24.
Right. Yeah, well, and there's so much other stuff going on, too. Yeah. Make sure you follow DP at It's Me, DPP. Make sure you follow AJ at Phenomenal AJB. And follow this show at Podcast DWI on X and Facebook.com/DWI Podcast right over there. I almost played the wrong thing, but now I didn't. Follow me at PC Tunney on all your social media platforms, Chairshot Radio Network, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. You've been listening to another edition of this show. Rodney Pete's got gas.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.